Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another wonderful day that He's made. And I thank Him for all those who have it in their heart to obey Him. You know, when you look out in the wide world and you see all the problems, the threat of nuclear war with North Korea, Iran wants nuclear capability, and you know they hate Israel. You know, all these problems in the world, they're out there. And some people say the devil's busy. Let me tell you about the devil. He's bridled. The word says, he that letteth will let. You don't have to let Satan do anything. You know, our victory is a prayer away. We've been given victory. And those who know their God will do exploits, said Daniel, the prophet. He said that they will do exploits. And it's true. If you pray, and if you take authority over Satan and you confess the word of God over your life, you are invincible. You are more than a conqueror. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're not subject to the rudiments of this world. You're not subject to the works of Satan and the works of evil men. When you turn Satan off, he's off. And when you pray for, see, God has people in every country that He wants to save. There are people that He loves. And they are the salt of the earth in their country. There are people in North Korea that have gotten saved. There are people in South Korea has the largest church in the world, a 5 million member church. I mean, you can't get better than that. God has people here. And a few evil men can't stop the progress of God. The main thing we can control, we can stop the works of the devil. That's good. That's a wonderful thing. But greater than that, you can make a difference where you are. Everybody who will just obey God and take Him at His word, they can do a work that can't be reversed. Everybody who take God at His word and obey Him, they start a healing process that cannot be reversed. That's why the enemy fights us hard and long, you know, to get us to slow down and not be affected. He's afraid of us. He's afraid of what we can do in Jesus Christ. And he wants to stop the progress of God, but he can't. He desires to stop it, but he can't. Now, those who love God, those who know their God, will do exploits. And the only way to do that is to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Daniel said, they that know their God, not people that know of their God, but they that have a living, thriving relationship, they who obey Him, they will do exploits. And as long as you're living in obedience to Him, you're capable of doing the exploits you need to be doing. And I thank the Lord for it. You're not subject to the rudiments of this world. Now, we started off several broadcasts ago about how rebellion forms. See, if you know how it forms, you know how to stop it. And we already covered how to stop it. But we're still looking at Balaam, the prophet. Back in 24, every time I get to this chapter, this part, it's toward the end of the broadcast, so I'm going to start earlier today because there's a few things the Lord wanted me to cover. Balak the king wanted Balaam to curse Israel. You know that. We've been over that. And Balaam the prophet, he showed Balak all many things that the Lord wanted to do. He prophesied the rise and falls of other nations that interfered with Israel and what would happen to them. And some of the things that he prophesied just that we covered in the last two broadcasts, even in Revelation, it was in there. I mean, he covered a wide spectrum of things. So today we're going to start it on chapter 25. Remember, Balak the king was very desperate. Very desperate, very fearful of what the Lord would do. He was fearful of Israel and what they might do to his kingdom, which they didn't have. The country of Moab, they were just going to pass through. They didn't care. They didn't care one way or the other about Moab. They weren't going to bother Moab. No, they were just people that's in their land, Midianites either. Moses' wife was from Midian. But he was afraid of them. Anytime there's fear, fear attaches man to Satan, and it has torment. So Balak was tormented. And all Balaam did was bless Israel. He didn't curse them. He never did curse them, except for he pointed out in chapter 23, he pointed out in verse 21 that there was no enchantment against Israel. He said, "Behold, I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt, and he has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what has God wrought?" And so he blessed them. He said, "Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat the prey and drink the blood of the slain." And Balak was so mad. One scripture said he even clapped his hands together. He was so mad. He didn't hit the prophet, but he was mad at him. Now, when in the course of Balaam's conversation, he mentioned that there was no divination and no enchantment against Israel, and there was no perverseness in them. But look at verse 25, because Revelation said that he taught Balak how to curse Israel, and they did. Chapter 25 says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab." So Balak sent whorish women to sleep with the men of Israel. And watch what they did. "And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods." And this was Balaam's fault. This was also Balak's fault. But Balaam knew better than Balak did. And Balak couldn't have done that without Balaam. So now the Lord was angry. This is what the Lord saw would happen when he had the dumbass, when he opened the mouth of the dumbass and let him speak. Let her speak. It was a female donkey. And Balaam should have known to leave those men alone and not go down there. But he was after the money and the prestige of it all. See, God put two trees in the garden. Never forget this. The tree of life, which represents faith and trust in God only, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which represent an alternative path. Now, Adam was supposed to eat off the tree of life and reject the other one for food. Don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Balaam tried to do both. And every time man tried to do both, they always fail. You can't have a little bit of Satan and a lot of God. You got to leave Satan alone. That's why I confess that I won't let the seeds of his words enter my heart. Everything, every lie he tells me, I know is dangerous and I rebuke it. And I say that I hate it so that I can notice it when it happens. You don't notice everything of Satan, but never be afraid of it. See, fear attaches your life to his, just like faith attaches your life to God. Because faith looks to God, fear looks to disaster from Satan. And what I want you to know is you don't have to live in any form of torment. Follow the peace of God. Jesus gave you peace that cannot be taken from you. And you don't have to be ashamed of it. You don't have to try to hide the light of God's word. You don't have to hide the light of the work he did in you, because the healing the healing work of salvation has begun in you. It came to you in seed form. Somebody told you the word. You believed it, mixed faith with it, acted on it. And it caused the healing process to continue to grow in your heart. And the more you grow in the Lord, the stronger it gets. The stronger you get. It gets into your advice. It gets into your wisdom. It gets into your habit system. And your normal way of life becomes a living representation of the Word of God. So when you give advice, it'll be good. And when you notice the Holy Spirit, and you know, anytime the Holy Spirit speaks to someone else, you'll be clueless to what he told them to do. And when you notice that it's a work of the Holy Spirit, you won't try to quell it using old wisdom from the world. See, we pick up things from the world, and people resist the work of God because of what they picked up in the world. Most people who follow through with the wrong thing, they don't mean any harm, but they just don't do any good with that kind of wisdom. The only way to get rid of it is to receive the wisdom of God's word and act on it. And you'll be able to, and the more you walk in love, my friend, the more you walk in love, the more you'll be able to see the dangers of the world for what they are. And you'll drive it out of your habit system, just like you drive the evil things that you picked up along the way out of your heart. If you drive it out of your heart, it'll be easy for you to change and make the transfer of the wisdom of God in the kingdom of God. We want to live in God's kingdom, but we have to drive out everything that was of old of the world. And the same jokes that you used to laugh at won't be funny anymore. And the things that you used to condone will be repulsive. The things you used to hate, you love. And the things you used to love, you now hate. Because in the kingdom of God runs totally opposite from the kingdom of the world. The world system is a lie. The kingdom of God is life. Eat off the tree of life only. Live by the word of God only. And you won't be brainwashed, because God don't brainwash people. God give you information, and you'll choose to operate in it. You'll see the wisdom in it, and you'll operate in it. Now, some things you'll just have to trust God on. You'll take him at his word. You know that his track record is good. So when he tell you to do something you originally didn't want to do, you do it because he said it. And if you can live by that faith and you can continue with trust, you're going to see why he said do it. And you're going to thank him for it, because it's going to cause wealth to come into your life. Not just finances, but health, longevity, good wisdom. And it gets into your advice. So when your children run into problems, you'll know just what to say. Or God will cause you to say the right thing, and you'll cooperate with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. See, every Christian has the Holy Spirit living in them. But he can't do them any good, because when they don't trust him. And the reason they don't trust him is because they believe something that lingered from the world, and they didn't deal with it. You can't leave satanic things to happenstance. They're too dangerous. And you won't always notice all of it. You have to disagree with it in order to get rid of it. Because the word said, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the first step. Resist the devil, that's the second step, and he'll flee from you. And that's the result. So when you submit your life to God, you're taking him at his word. You're obeying him. You're eating off the tree of life. You're not going to eat off the living tree of life yet. There is a tree of life. You will see it. You will touch it. You will taste it. It bears 12 types of fruit according to its month. But you won't eat off that tree yet. Not till you go to heaven. But you can partake of God's word. And when you partake of God's word, you overcome everything. People have problems when they don't drive out the Canaanites. Balaam this story is of Balaam. He didn't drive the Canaanites out of his land, so to speak. He didn't drive out the evil desires out of his heart. He tried to utilize them. When Balak the king offered him gifts, he didn't say, "I don't want your gifts." And when he offered him honor, he didn't say, "I didn't want your honor." And when he offered him a position, he said, I didn't ask for your position, and I don't want it." He shouldn't have went with those men. Because he lusted after those things, it caused him to betray his friend, God. It caused him to betray God. And it caused men, we're going to read about how many people died because of this. And it became a snare that lingered for centuries and helped cause Israel to go into bondage because of one action, because one man was greedy. You can trace a lot of their problems back to Balaam. And he was a prophet. And he even prophesied things. He was so close to God, he prophesied things that would happen. He prophesied about the ships of Chittim. Same thing Daniel prophesied in Revelation. It's going to happen. And it's going to come to pass. But he was the first one to prophesy some of the things in Revelation. Long before John was even born. So a good person can be snared by the evil things of this world. A thought that turns into thorns. The chaos of this life. So you may not know how you're going to pay bills or certain things. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to believe God and he's going to work it out. You're going to be able to pay all your bills or whatever you have to do. Disconnect from the fear and the worry of it. Don't concern yourself with the fear of this world and the worry of this world. You're not in the world. Don't be of the world. And don't pretend to be of the world. Because a lot of problems fall after. Now, we talked about how the heart is represented like a garden. And in this garden, you have a good heart is like a good garden. It's all the rocks and weeds are out of it. It's ready to produce fruit, to grow the plants you need. Just like the Word of God. Now, Adam, salvation puts us in the position of Adam. Adam was a good man. There was nothing wrong with Adam. He was made in God's image. Adam was like a brand new computer. In order for you to use this brand new high-speed computer, you have to put programs on it that you need and that you're going to use. And you have to program. The tree of life represents what would program Adam's heart. Taking God, the ability to take God at his word. If Adam would have ate off the tree of life, it's just like when you study the word of God, the enemy can't tell you certain lies when you know the truth. And the more truth you learn and partake of, the harder it is for the devil to fool you somewhere. So what I'm trying to say is, eating off the tree of life fortifies you. If Adam would have eaten off the tree of life and not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would be alive today. His heart would have been more fortified. He would have chose what would have put him over. But he didn't do that. He ate off the other tree. And the other tree looked good. It was a fruit that looked good, looked like it tastes good. But we need the knowledge of God. Now, people who operate in pride, they don't give life a chance. So they don't know how good it is. They don't know how good the peace is that God gives us. They don't know what it feels like to be saved and to know it. See, they don't know what it's like to feel God's presence. They don't know what it's like to have blessed assurance that we truly sing about. We can feel it. They can't. They never can. And they never will unless they get saved. A man that never got saved don't know what it's like He doesn't know what it's like to be saved. I had a Harley Davidson patch on my work jacket one time. It said, if you have to ask, you wouldn't understand. If you have to ask about what's so good about a Harley Davidson, if you have to ask, you wouldn't understand. Salvation is much more than that. If you never been saved before, you don't know what it's like. And if you don't take time and study the Word of God and fortify your heart and live in the peace of God with the wisdom of God, you don't know what it's like either. If a person just gets saved and that's all they did, they'll have peace, they'll have joy, but it's not full. But when you start studying the Word of God, you can feel the strength in your heart. You can feel it. And so when the enemy comes with his lies, you can laugh at it. I know what it's like to be crying over something you don't understand and then get fortified in the Word of God and built up, and then the same situation happens, you laugh at it. I've been there. I've done that. So when things happen that I don't understand or know about, I just laugh at it. I laugh at it ahead of time. I say, I'm winning this fight. I'm going to learn what to do. And I always do, and God always blesses me. And he's going to do the same for those who take him at his word. Now, God can make you so effective that you can do major things before you leave the planet. Before your time to go to heaven, he can cause you to do whatever it is you can do. And that's all he expects of you. And I'm not saying it'll be a small thing. God can do some major works in your life. He can cause you to say the right thing to the right person. It may be a small work to you, but it can do major damage to the world system, and it can greatly honor God. You know, there were people, just like the thief on the cross. He showed the world how kind Jesus really is. Master, when you go to heaven, remember me. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And that took, when he did that one, all he did was made one statement. And it let the world know that if he had mercy on a thief with enthusiasm, he'll do so much more for me. Because when you walk with him, you're going to learn things. You're going to be a blessing. At the right time, that man made the right statement. And billions of people were blessed by it. If you count all the way back 2,000 years ago, billions of people know about what he said and were blessed by it. Billions. Now, the word of God is true. King Balak sent the women of Moab to turn the hearts of those in Israel, a lot of things happened, and we'll cover some of it. Verse 4 reads, and the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads, verse 3, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Now, this was done so that God wouldn't get too angry and wipe them all out, because God hates sin. Don't play with God with sin. He hates it. And the Lord gave us some fail-safes. One is Jesus, the high priest. The blood of Jesus washed away our sin. Jesus is our high priest to represent us to the Father so that he'll be patient with us. Then he made all of the people of God kings and priests, because we've been made just like Jesus. We're already made in God's image. But all those who believe on Jesus, they become like him. Whatever he did, they can do. And greater works will they do because they believe. Now, he made us kings. He gave us authority over Satan, just like Jesus has authority over Satan. And then he made us priests so we can represent God to mankind, and we can represent mankind to God. We can even represent the church to God, and we can represent God to the church. So he made us priests so that he won't get too angry and wipe out the human race. Now, verse 4, and the Lord said, verse 5, and Moses said to the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. Look at this. That was a plague because of what Balaam did. And 24,000 people perished. They died because of it. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, the prince of the chief house of the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman, the Midianitish woman that was slain, was Cosby, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, and in the matter of Cosby, the daughter of the prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. See, her father was a chief, and he sent her to do this evil against Israel. And the man that was with her got killed. Zimri and Cosby died because of Phinehas killed him with the spear. And it did away with the plague. They caused 24,000 people to die. Now, if we go on over to chapter 31, the Lord didn't stop there. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites, after which shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel shall ye send to the war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israelites, 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them into war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to war with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. See, Zur got killed too, father of Cosby. Continuing, Reba and 5 kings of Midian, Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. So Balaam got killed in that war too, and Moses made sure of it before he died. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives and their little ones, and took the spoil and their cattle and all their flocks and their goods, and they burnt them, and they burnt all their cities wherein they dwelt, and all their goodly castles with fire. And they took all the spoil and of the prey, both men and of beasts, and they brought it, and they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, and unto the congregation of the children of Israel, into the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. And Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. See, Moses was very old then. This was just before he died. He was almost 120. Moses said unto them, "Have ye saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore, kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that has known man by lying with him. But all the women and children that have not known a man by lying with him, keep them alive for yourselves." God is merciful. And do ye abide without the camp 7 days? Whosoever hath killed any person, and whosoever has touched any slain, purify yourselves and your captives on the third day, and on the seventh day, and purify all your clothes, and all that is made of skins, and all the work of goat's hair, and all the things made of wood. See, it had to purify. And we're going to pick up here verse 21.